Welcome to Literacy Matters, Empowered Conversations, a production of Learning Without Tears. I'm your host, Dr. Cheryl Lundy Swift, with your go-to monthly podcast, where we dive into important literacy topics, get practical tips, and listen to inspiring stories from experts in the field. I'm thrilled to bring you the second part of our conversation with the brilliant Joan Sedita, author of The Writing Rope. Now, in part one of our discussion, we unpacked the what and why of the writing rope. Today, we're diving into the how. How can educators bring this powerful framework to life in their classrooms? And what does it really look like to integrate these strands into instruction, especially in a time where writing often takes a backseat? Well, whether you are setting the stage for early writing or diving into more advanced writing, part two has something valuable for everyone. So, what does this look like when it comes to writing and composing for our younger students, like our K-3 students? What should that look like?
Yeah, that's another good question. And, you know, the Writing Rope book, which was published by Brooks, is sort of an overview of that framework, right? And I tried to bring in some practical suggestions, teaching suggestions for each skill in the different strands. But there are two other books that I've written that are aligned with professional development courses that are offered by my company, Keys to Literacy. The first is Keys to Early Writing, and that is designed just for K-2 teachers. The other is Keys to Content Writing, which is grades 3 to 12. Sure. And the reason we decided to focus and specifically on K-2 is that developmentally, what kids need to learn as a foundation to later writing, there is even a difference between what second graders and third graders need to know. So what are we doing in those early grades? First of all, one thing that people forget is that drawing is writing in kindergarten and first grade, right? Students are expressing what they want to compose through their graphics, their visuals, right? Now, slowly they begin as they start to learn letter sound and correspondences, just like they're able to decode words, they start to learn how to spell them. And that enables them to start adding words to their drawings and eventually phrases and then eventually sentences. And, you know, by third grade, they're writing paragraphs. Sure. But the drawing is the kickoff point. The other thing that I want to say about early grade writing is many primary teachers think it's just all about that transcription. Well, they have to learn to spell and they have to learn to handwrite before they can write anything. And while we do want to be developing those things, and as I said before, they're best done in during a phonics lesson, right? Doesn't mean we can't get the kids started on all the other strands of the rope, you know? So for sentences, we can begin developing that syntactic awareness. We can even do things like sentence combining, but we do it orally, right?
Sure.
Or we do it through the teacher writing the sentences out and the students seeing them until they're able to write those themselves. So sentences are really important. The differences among the three types of writing. Think about in read aloud. Maybe I'm reading I Wanna Iguana, right? Which is a perfect example for young children of opinion writing, right? So we start to show them how, not sometimes books, but in their case, as they are able to write, that there is a difference between this read aloud. This was about somebody convincing us, his mother, to do something, right?
Sure.
And we've got this other book over here, which is all about the stars and the planets. Well, that's informational, right?
Sure.
Hey, we just read this story, and it's a story. That's narrative. Look, it was about things that happened, events. So we can teach that strand of the rope. We can even begin teaching some of the skills kids need up at the creating level of the writing rope. And that is things like, how do I brainstorm ideas before I write? In this case, it's before I draw my picture, right? How do I gather information? I've seen wonderful things in first grade classrooms where teachers are working with children to develop shared research projects where maybe, you know, each student is choosing a different profession in life, a firefighter, a doctor, right, a nurse. And they learn about that through read aloud and maybe listening. And but then they have to start taking some notes, and maybe those notes are just words with some pictures. So everything can be introduced. You just have to do it with the developmental needs of these kids in mind. And a lot of that is going to be done through oral language.
That is like brilliant. And I love, I mean, again, I love the connection to oral language because it is so important. And what I really hear you saying is that we can start super early. That, you know what, while they're learning to build letters, to write letters, they can be starting to learn the writing processes of brainstorming and so forth. And I love it. You just kind of confirmed that. I think what we do is, while we're teaching children, for example, to write letters well and effectively so that it's automatic, we are also giving them that sentence practice to see that there's a capital and there's a period and all of that. So I think that's such great confirmation. For sure. That's awesome. So,
you know, here's another example, because I think because I want to make sure we get in here somewhere about the stages of the writing process, right? Which I include that up in the critical thinking strand.
Sure.
And we know that students at any grade level benefit from explicit instruction for the strategies they need to have at each stage, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know, the stages, gosh, these two researchers, Hayes and Flowers, started looking at that in the 60s and 70s. You know, if we could look at what processes, what stages proficient writers went through, we could then maybe teach those, right? That was the kind of the thinking behind it. Now, over time, most folks recognize the stages. I developed with my colleagues at Keys to Literacy a simple way for kids to remember those. We call it think, plan, write, revise. Okay.
And
we need to teach strategies at each stage, right? We can begin introducing those stages to little ones. And I'm going to give you an example of an activity that you can do. This is in that Keys to Early Writing course. So if you have students, and also this gives me an opportunity to talk about a really valuable teaching principle that goes across all grades, and that is providing opportunities for kids to collaborate their peers and the teacher at different stages. So let's say you have students working in pairs of two, and you give them two cans of Play-Doh in different colors.
Okay.
And you say, all right, so when we create something, and later when you're able to write enough that you can write whole sentences and paragraphs, when we do that, the first thing we have to do is think and plan. We have to think about what we want to say, and we want to plan how we're going to do it. So what we're going to do right now is I want you with your partner, you're going to make something out of Play-Doh. It could be a flower. It could be a snake. It could be an animal. Okay. So talk with your partners, brainstorm together what each of you wants to make. That's your thinking, right? All right. Now plan. What are you going to use? Now you can only use one color of your Play-Doh to start. And so now they plan, well, I'm going to roll the Play-Doh. Maybe it's a snake, and I'm going to make it this, and I'm going to put eyes on it. All right. You've just planned. All right. Now make it. That's the write stage. You are writing. Okay. Now revision. And young children are not able to do the deeper revision that happens after grade three, right? Like where you're rewriting your sentences. But what they can do is add more. That's the level of revision in the youngest grades. Sure. So if they've drawn something and you want them to revise it, you go in and you say, what else can you add? You know, you've got a beautiful drawing of this person here. What are they wearing? Oh, okay, well, let's add that to it. Or, you know, you've got a house here. What else do you want to say about the house? Oh, it has shutters. Well, let's draw those shutters, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's bring it back to the Play-Doh. So now you say to the pairs, talk to your partner, give them advice about how maybe they could make that better. And what they can do now is open up the other color of Play-Doh and add more. So now maybe it's a snake, but they add stripes in a different color, or they add little different colored eyes. You have now just walked them through all the stages of the writing process. They've thought, they've planned, they've made it, which is writing, and they've added some revision to it. And you can use that terminology. You're setting the stage. And that way, by the time they get to get grade three, it's not like this, oh, gee, they're stages of the writing process. They already know what they are.
That is just brilliant. I love the idea of the Play-Doh. Imagine doing this with pre-K children. This is really, really great work. I said K to three, but really, this is something you can do with very, very young children. That is fantastic. Now, I know, we typically, many of our listeners are K to five, K to six folks, but I know that people are wondering, like, what do we do with our older learners who may be struggling writers? What do we, how can we support those teachers who are working with older students?
There's a lot of reasons why older kids struggle. It's a little bit like with reading, right? You get to the upper grades and you see, gee, they can't understand what they're reading. They can't comprehend. And so everybody immediately goes to, oh, well, we have to teach them comprehension strategies, which they very may well need. But we need to sort of diagnose, well, maybe there's some other fundamental skills that are missing. And I
Sure.
think the same is true with writing. So there's no one size fits all for providing intervention or support to older kids. And this is where the writing rope can come in, right? So you can analyze their writing samples. You can, look at their work and say, well, maybe the problem comes right down to sentences. They can't write a solid sentence. And, Cheryl, if you think about it, sentences and paragraphs are like the building blocks of writing. If you can't craft a solid sentence, your writing is dead in the water, right?
Yes.
So many of our older kids, we need to go back to the syntax strand of writing and teach them how to write high quality, elaborated sentences. And there's lots of things we can do to make that happen. And a lot of it comes down to the paragraph too. Like they don't understand the concept of a paragraph, which is something that's unique to text. We don't talk in paragraphs.
Right.
And any work we do around paragraphs, which is really about main ideas, will support reading comprehension as well as writing. Dr. Sharon Vaughan and her colleagues in 2022 put out a great IES research guide about interventions for students in grades 4 to 8, right?
Sure.
And they talk a lot about as it relates to comprehension, teaching students to find the gist, right, in
Yes.
paragraphs as they're reading, because as you think about it, as you're reading about a topic, but every time there's that new indent or double line, it's a little clue in the road saying a sign saying stop, we're about to shift gears, we're still reading about pirates, but we're going to read something different about pirates. And the same is true with our kids' writing. Many of the older kids, when you look at their writing, they just write and write and write and write. There's no pauses, no. Or maybe every 5 lines they indent because they think they're supposed to, but it's not.
Right.
Yeah. So I think for a lot of our older writers, going back to that sentence writing, paragraph writing, another thing we haven't talked about, but it's called task, audience, and purpose, being aware of what
Yes.
is your task, what's your purpose, who is your audience. That particular skill I put in under the writing craft strand because proficient writers are always thinking about that, and it should influence choices you make about the words you're going to use, about the structure, the tone you're going to have. And so that's a real writing craft sort of thing. And a lot of our students just are not aware about that as well. There's a lot I could say about struggling older writers, but I think just trying to analyze where the issue is, where are the breakdown points.
Yeah. I'll tell
So.
you what, you hit the nail on the head as a former ELA teacher and former principal. Where we had the most difficulty, you're absolutely right, is sentences. And so I think that focus to really support that syntax is incredibly important, and then to build to the paragraphs. I think, you know, again, I can hear a lot of teachers going, "Yep, amen to that," right? So now, you know, when we're thinking about supporting all of our students, our general education students, our students with disabilities, what can families do to really support the development of writing, especially when it comes to the early grades?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the early grades is the place to start, right? So earlier we talked about how reading and writing draw from the same well, and that well, part of that well is oral language, right? And what I'm about to say not only supports kids' ability to start to learn to write, but also to read. Before kids get to school, the more they're exposed to rich oral language, and by rich, I mean beyond just everyday conversation, right? So when we read to our children, they are hearing more advanced language, right? Longer sentences, more unusual vocabulary. But, you know, just walking down the aisle in the grocery store with your 3 or 4 year old and having conversations, you know, you're in front of all the different apples and talking about the colors, and, you know, all of that stuff lays the groundwork. A long time ago, I stopped giving toys and things like that for shower gifts. All I give now is a box of books, right? Because, right. So developing that oral language, I think, is the place to start. And having kids not just listen, but also express themselves. So having kids restate what utterances by kids, but then having them copy the way we've done that. So if they use one or two word responses, you have them expand that into a full sentence and repeat it back to you. And these are things that parents can do. We talked about drawing before. Have your kids draw and tell you what's in their drawings. Have them make up a story, or maybe, you know, describe something that you all did as a family, and have them draw several drawings, one for each event that happened. Maybe they went to the park for the day. Well, what happened? And draw it. And then have them use their drawings to explain it back to you. You're building that composing ability. And then finally, any books that you are reading to your children, stop and have them look at the structure. Show them the page and say, "Look at that. What's that dot there? That's called a period, right?" So there is so much that parents can do to help their kids write, or set the stage for writing. They don't have to be teaching the skills the way teachers do.
Of course, but that was some really great specific things they can do to really kind of support the process. That's fantastic. Appreciate you, Joan. I appreciate all of your wonderful ideas and your practical examples that people can use tomorrow. So thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Literacy Matters Empowered Conversations. If you like this show and want more, visit our site at lwtiers.com/literacymatters, where you can watch video versions of each and every episode. Don't forget to tap the follow button so you don't miss an episode. Also, please help spread the word and leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or your platform of choice. Your support is what keeps this literacy journey going.